Thursday morning, 8:14, Dr. B joins us, Dr. Brent Wallace, Chief Medical Officer of People's Health, to talk about the importance of visiting your primary care provider. How you doing, Dr. B? Good morning.
Hey, Tommy. I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm okay, sir. So if you haven't visited your primary care provider this year, you really ought to schedule an appointment. Dr. B from People's Health is going to discuss primary care and share five tips for making the most of your next visit. I guess before we talk about tips, we should talk about what is a primary care provider.
Yeah, absolutely. So a primary care provider, we call ourselves PCPs, because I am one. We really are kind of your best friend for good health. And what we do is we practice general health care. You can see us for a lot of different things. But in particular, we focus a lot on preventative care. And that may include things like vaccinations or healthy living recommendations. But then we also treat a whole host of illnesses, you know, things that are simple like sinus infections or the flu or, you know, other types of infections. But we also help you manage all of your chronic health conditions, things like diabetes, high blood pressure, and heart disease.
And primary care physicians or providers are not only for elderly people, right?
No, not at all. In fact, everybody should have a primary care provider.
Why is it so important to have a primary care provider?
Yeah, so, you know, through these regular visits that you have with your PCP, they really get to know you and they get to know what's going on with your health and what your history is. That really lets them monitor any changes that happen in your health over time. And that way we can kind of develop a more specific and personalized plan of care for you. And we really, like I said, we help manage your overall care, but on occasion, we're going to have to send you out to somebody else for specialized care, and we can actually help to coordinate that as well. We're going to help you stay up to date with all of your immunizations and health screenings as well. So it's really a whole host of things that we tackle.
How often are you supposed to visit your PCP?
Yeah, this is something a lot of people forget, but everyone who's 30 years or older really needs to have a PCP visit at least once a year for your annual checkup. And then for those people that have chronic conditions, things like diabetes or high blood pressure, you might actually need additional appointments throughout the year to see your PCP.
Why is that?
Well, really, you know, if you've got one of those long-lasting health conditions, you really do need that personalized and kind of holistic plan of care. And, you know, it's going to include a whole host of things. Definitely, you know, medical services and maybe prescription drugs. But in particular, things like healthy living recommendations to really, you know, make your life better and control any disease you may have better. And we're going to help you develop that treatment plan and then guide you through it. So, you know, when you do follow up with your PCP, we're going to check how well you're doing with your treatment. Are you taking your medications? Do you have any new symptoms? Do you have any side effects from those medications as well? And then we can make adjustments to that plan throughout the year to make you feel better and be better.
All right, let's get to some tips about making the most of your primary care appointments. Tip number one.
Yeah, so this is really important. So I always tell people to prepare in advance for your appointment. And, you know, don't just walk in the door and not know what you're going to talk about. So when you schedule that appointment, you know, first and foremost, make sure that your doctor takes your insurance. You don't want to get stuck with a big healthcare bill. And then, you know, request any accommodations you might need. So, you know, if you're in a wheelchair, make sure you know how to access the building. If you need a translator, make sure that that is set up as well. And if you want to bring a family member with you, make sure that you've arranged that with them. And then on the day of the appointment, make sure you bring everything you need. So bring your insurance card, a valid ID, and then a list of all your medications. And this is really important. You know, that list needs to include any over-the-counter items you're taking, things like vitamins or supplements or even over-the-counter medications. And I tell people, really bring all your medication bottles in with you for that first appointment so we can take a look at them and actually read directly what's on the labels.
So why is it so important that you bring them in with you?
Yeah, it's critical. People don't always remember what they're taking, especially some of those over-the-counter medicines that they may be taking. And sometimes they can interact with each other and they can cause a lot of dangerous side effects. And so your PCP can really review everything you're taking and find any potential problems and make adjustments as needed. And then knowing that full medication routine makes it easier for us to adjust the medications or address any sort of side effects that you may be having.
Anything else you should bring to your appointment with your PCP?
Yeah, you know, it's important to bring a notepad with you. And on that notepad, you want to list the questions that you're going to ask your PCP, because visits can be very quick and rapid, and you don't want to forget something that's really important or spend time, you know, trying to remember what you wanted to ask your doctor about. So, you know, jot down your three or four top priority questions, so in case you don't have time to discuss everything, you're hitting those high points. And if you're visiting a brand new provider, you also want to jot down some things about your own personal medical history, but also any family history that you have, because that's going to be really important. A lot of diseases run in families. We may want to screen you for some of those if we know that you've got a mom, dad, brother, or sister that has a certain health condition.
All right, 8:20 now, and it's Thursday morning, talking to Dr. B, Dr. Brent Wallace, Chief Medical Officer of People's Health, about the importance of seeing your primary care provider and five tips to make the most of your visit. We've already gone through tip number one. We'll pick it up with number two when we come back. Right now, traffic, WWL. 26, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Dr. B. Not to be disagreeable or anything, but I think the jolly bearded fellow will be in Lafayette today, and that's Dr. B, Dr. Brent Wallace. He'll be with Newell Norman today. You heard the promo there. Let's talk about primary care providers and some tips to make the most out of your visit. What's your second tip, Dr. B?
Yeah, so you want to try to arrive early to your appointment if possible. And the main reason for that is you really want to maximize your time that you have with your PCP. Make sure that the visit isn't rushed and you're addressing all of those questions that you have. And, you know, build in time for unexpected delays or you know, things like traffic, or if you've got to park and walk over to the clinic as well. And then some offices have online check-in where you can actually fill out your paperwork in advance. That'll save you a little bit of time and keep you from waiting in the waiting room for too long.
What about tip number three?
Yeah, so this is really important. You want to make sure you answer your doctor's questions honestly. And, you know, when you're asked about lifestyle, you might be tempted to say what you think we want to hear. Mm-hmm. But really, you get the best care when your PCP knows the full picture of your health and all of your habits. So, you know, for example, if you smoke or you drink alcohol, you want to tell your doctor about that and be honest about the amount that you do that. Also, if you have trouble taking any of your medications consistently, or maybe you're not taking your medications because of a side effect, you want to tell us about that as well.
And I would think you probably might want to do a little audit of your activities before you go, so you realize maybe just exactly how much you do drink.
Right. Yeah. Sometimes that visit's an opportunity to really reflect a little bit. And, you know, so that's why it's so important to be honest, because we'll tell you what we think about it.
I have a drink a day. Well, wait, maybe more like two a day. Well, actually, you know, come to think about it, I get hammered every night. And I'm just saying that is the kind of thing you need to be honest with your doctor about. How about tip number four?
Yeah, so don't be afraid to ask us questions. You know, I have a lot of visits where people don't say very much, but it's really important to ask any questions that you have. You know, we cover a lot of information, usually pretty quickly. Sometimes you can get confused, and your PCP should not mind explaining or repeating something, but you've got to ask us about that. That's really critical.
And how about your final tip?
Yeah, so that notepad that you brought, you can also take notes on it. And it's important because a lot of things do happen in the visit. You want to make sure you walk out of there knowing what was discussed. So if any new medications are started, you can write down the instructions. We're usually going to give you healthy living recommendations, so you can write that down. And then also follow-up appointments, dates of future appointments, or if we've had to refer you to a specialist. And one thing to keep in mind now, most clinics should be giving you a printout of everything that happened in the visit as well, so that's going to help a little bit.
Any final thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, really, primary care is essential to staying healthy. It's really important to aging well. So even if you've got a really busy schedule like so many people do, try to make time for a PCP visit. You've got 9 weeks left in the year. It's a huge investment in your health. So it's really, really important.
So tell me about today. Where y'all going to be in Lafayette?
Yeah, so we're going to be at 318 Gilbo Road for the grand opening of Primary Care Plus in Lafayette. Well, I'm really excited about it. I saw Newell last night. I know I'm going to see him this morning.
At the pre-party, right? The sponsors party?
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
The pre-party, yeah.
All right. Thank you, Dr. B. Appreciate it as always. Y'all can find out more about People's Health at the People's Health Medicare Center in Metairie. Open enrollment underway. It's located at 3017 Vets next to Party City. Appointments are recommended. Walk-ins are welcome. You can always go to peopleshealth.com or call People's Health at 1-800-978-9765. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Jeff Nowak about the Saints-Chargers game coming up and the injury report. Right now, time for WWL First News. Here we go, 8:46, 14 till 9. Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter, joins us. Talk about the injury report, Chargers game, etc. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing good. Looking forward to heading out to L.A. this weekend. It's been a while. We set up residence out there, and I haven't been back, so I need
That's
to kind
true,
of check
huh?
out.
I didn't realize that it was a return trip after training camp. Boy, it seems like the game against the Broncos a long time ago, which is good in a way. Tell me about the Saints' injury situation.
Yeah, so it seems like they're going in the right direction, which is a nice thing to say. You know, obviously, these players are not getting back this week, and you kind of know that. Derek Carr didn't practice on Wednesday. That's not a surprise. Eric McCoy still on injured reserve. Will Harris is still on injured reserve. But you did get several key players back. Pete Werner was back to practice for the first time in a while. He's missed multiple games. Taysom Hill was back to practice for the first time in a while. He's missed multiple games. Cesar Ruiz is back to practice for the first time in a while. You get the idea. He's missed multiple games. So, you know, one of the better bits of news, too, is Marshawn Lattimore is listed on here. So is Spencer Rattler, but both were full participants. So, you know, ideally, you know, a lot of these guys were limited. Ideally, they'll be full participants today, tomorrow. But, you know, it's trending in the direction of, hey, you're still going to be without your starting quarterback. You're still going to be without a few key players, but you should at least have a good number of starters back. And so that shouldn't be, you know, the reason you can't win, let's put it that way, when you go out to SoFi this weekend.
I heard somebody refer to Taysom Hill as the X Factor, which got me to thinking that he should wear an X on his jersey instead of a number. Be the Roman numeral
of
10.
I think the analogy I used was kind of like, he's kind of like a really sharp set of dentures that you could the offense puts in its mouth and it starts eating red meat again. You know, otherwise you're kind of just like a turtle trying to eat a sirloin. You just don't get the – you can't really tear into it the way you want to, right?
You don't even put in a blender or anything.
Right, exactly. You got to eat smoothies, and you know now you can kind of start to gash defenses again. So hopefully that's the case. Hopefully he's a full go. You know, he's been out for a while. He hasn't played since Week 4 against the Falcons. So you know that would be nice, because I just think, you know, you'd like to see Spencer Rattler, and they're sticking with Spencer Rattler. That's what DA said on Monday, which is I think is the right way to do it. If you're going to stick with the young guy, you want to kind of build him up, you know, and still confidence in him, not have him sitting there kind of waiting for the rug to get pulled out. But, you know, he's got to be better, right? And I think you kind of look at it like, okay, he had two games in the span of 5 days. That's tough for any quarterback. It's a lot more difficult for a rookie quarterback who didn't even really get any time to kind of assess his first start before his second start. So, you know, I'd like to think that with 10 days to kind of reevaluate and come up with a plan, you could see a more representative showing. And also, just like, hey, I guess one guy I didn't mention was Chris Olave. He was also back to practice dealing with a concussion. You know, you get some of these weapons back, right? Like, it's bad enough you're having to go turn to a rookie in this situation and ask him to go win you some games. It's even worse that you're putting him in a situation that he is not set up for success in. He doesn't have either starting wide receiver. He's dealing with a patchwork offensive line. Alvin Kamara, you know, we'll talk more about him, I'm sure. You know, he's dealing with a broken hand, a broken rib, hip pointer, like all these different issues. So he's not 100%. So it would be nice to see Spencer get out there in a situation where he at least has the pieces around him to succeed, because I don't think he's had that to this point.
41 is tough as tough can be. I don't know what else you could ask out of him. I'm glad to see that he got his deal. We'll talk about that in a second. One thing, you talk about patchwork offensive line. You know, Jeff, I follow this, and I had to look up number 60 to see who Kyle Hergel was during the Denver Broncos game. I did. I really did. And I follow this. So, you know, I mean, man, I'm looking at the report here. You got Lucas Patrick and Connor McGovern, both limited practice. One of them's got to go. If not, I don't know who's going to be playing center. You?
Yeah, I would anticipate both of those guys play, right? Connor's been close. Connor has played. Lucas has been close each of the last 2 weeks. He was questionable going into the Bucs game. He didn't play. He was active for the Broncos game. I think he was kind of available as that emergency offensive lineman. But, like, just the fact that you were willing to put him in the game if you needed to is kind of indicative that with 10 days he should be ready to go this week. I think it's important. I would expect Connor to still be your center. That's going to be an interesting decision they have to make. I think you'd probably stick with Lucas at left guard and go with Connor at center. I think they like how he has played. It's tough. And, you know, I think these guys missing, it doesn't only impact that position. It impacts the guys next to them, right? Like, yep. I think Trevor Penning and Taliese Fuaga have played well, but, you know, they're going to be better when they have those veterans next to them and not kind of this revolving door of backups.
And
right? I think Trevor Penning played a lot better when Cesar Ruiz was there, and you get the idea, yeah.
The offensive line, cohesiveness of the unit, man, is like a dance team. I hate to say that, but it is, really. And we had an interesting conversation with Deuce. Y'all can go back and go to WWL.com and click on my name and listen to the conversation. But he was talking about the importance of the continuity in the offensive line and so forth. And McGovern wasn't even on the team until, 4 weeks ago, right?
Yeah, I mean, he was debating retirement. You know, he was pretty close. He was on the Jets practice squad. He was getting ready to go out to London. I think he was a couple hours from getting on the bus. And then the Saints called, and he was like, all right, I guess I'll change my flight. He caught a flight out of Newark, and he's here. Funny thing about Connor is he was debating retirement, right, before he signed on the Jets practice squad. And if he retired, he would go up to, South Dakota and work on his family's potato farm. Mm. So he was very close to becoming a potato farmer. Instead, he put the weight back on. He came out here to play for the Saints. So, he's got a fallback.
Another great story in addition to, I got to say it, Daratla. We'll take a break. More with Jeff Nowak when we come back. 8:52, 8 till 9. Traffic now, WWL. 8:56, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Jeff Nowak, Saints sideline reporter. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this. Alvin Kamara's deal is done, Jeff. But even with that being said, I don't know how the man could give you any more than he's already been giving you. Thoughts?
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. You know, you look at a lot of players and you might say, hey, you know, he's probably been, you know, withholding something, you know, not giving you his all because he's kind of worried about that contract. I just don't think that's how it works for Alvin. I think he was kind of committed to doing this, you know, the right way, but for his teammates. And I think the team saw that, they rewarded that, right? And that's the right thing to do. You want players to kind of go about it this way. That's how you would like your off seasons to go. You don't want to have to deal with 2 to 3 players holding out for contracts every season. At least the Saints can now kind of, you know, look at players and say, hey, we'll do right by you. You just got to continue to do the work.
This is saying a lot.
So that's a good sign.
And I've been around a while, this is saying a lot, but in terms of toughness, loyalty, dependability, other than the mishap in Las Vegas, I got to make Alvin Kamara one of my favorite Saints of all time. I'm not kidding, if not the best. Let's talk about the Chargers and how they shape up. And, well, let me take a step back. Jeff, first of all, it has seemed like a long time since the Denver game. You think the Saints have kind of regrouped, and I know they got a couple of days off, right? Get everything together, get their heads together, come back, start all over?
They better have.
Yeah.
You know, they got to work better than they did against the Broncos, because the fact is, like, that's not the team that we've seen all offseason, that we're in the last 2 weeks against the Bucs and the Chargers and the Broncos. It's not the team we've seen the first 5 weeks of the season even. So I like to think that that's kind of an aberration, and you just kind of hit the end of the line with some of these injuries and some of the energy levels that you could have pulled out of guys, and that extra time off hopefully helps some guys reset, because, you know, the biggest issue the Saints have had, stopping the run. What do the Chargers do? They run the ball. Like, they are committed to running the ball. They're going to bang their head against the wall and hope and see how long it takes to break. And, you know, hopefully the Saints can figure something out there. Because You can't be a good defense if you can't stop the run. That's just the fact at the end of the day. No good defense in NFL history has been gashed on the ground the way the Saints have. So that's going to be the key. And it's kind of a broken record. You say that every week. But until they can do it, I'm going to keep saying it, you've got to find a way to stop the run.
And Jim Harbaugh is no different than any other NFL coach. They find a weakness, so what do? They step on it, right? They put the heel on it pretty much and grind?
Oh, yeah. That's what good coaches do. They identify a weakness and they attack it. And the weakness of the Saints right now is the run game, and the Chargers have a really good running back in J.K. Dobbins, who they're gonna just hammer. He's got almost 500 rushing yards already, 75 yards to carry. So you're going to see a lot of them. It's going to be a matter of how you handle them.
Pete Werner expected to play?
I think he is. We'll have to see the next couple days, but I would expect him back, yeah.
All right, thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it as always. Have a good trip out to L.A. Say hello to all your friends you made out there.
Sounds good, Tommy. Thanks.
All right, you bet. 8:59, we'll take a break. We come back. We're going to talk to Walter Dublane, Associate Professor of Economics and Finance at UNO. We're going to spend some time discussing Kamala Harris's plan and Donald Trump's plan when it comes to health care, and about how the U.S. healthcare system currently works and what's left over from Obamacare and what's not. And speaking of healthcare, the Pelicans are going to need some. Zion missed last night. Hopefully he'll be back. DeJounte Murray breaks his non-shooting hand. So we'll talk to Ollie Cosell about that. Big hour coming up. Stay with us.